We all need a good friend, someone who can read our moods and react accordingly. In the not-too-distant future, that support may come from a robot. But are we prepared to hand over our emotional intelligence to machines? Dr. Aleksandra Pregolenska works with artificial intelligence startups and is a research fellow at the Center for Collective Intelligence at Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston. She joined me from Melbourne this week and began by painting a picture of what our lives might be like within the next 10 to 20 years.
So I can well imagine that we will live in a very much augmented reality, reality that will be highly enhanced by various technologies. But I can also imagine that, for instance, artificial general intelligence emerges somehow, which would be, a kind of intelligence that is comparable with human intelligence. And therefore, those machines will be pretty much like humans or even better at certain things. And then they would kind of become a part of the society that we'll live in. And that would dramatically change everything that we experience every day in our daily lives.
So you talk about there that they will be in many ways like us. How will we interact with machines? Will they be a part of us or will they be separate from us?
Well, that's a big debate right now. And I think many things are very much unknown. For instance, our research group works with sensors. And through those sensors, for instance, we can send a machine or a program and information about how we feel at a given moment.
So is it possible that in the next 10 years, when I come home, I can open the door and my personal robot will know whether I need a very stiff gin and tonic or whether a glass of water is sufficient and exactly what I'd like for dinner?
Well, I guess this is definitely a feasible scenario, something that is definitely doable. If it's a context of a smart home, all the sensors that you can have on you will then be able to transfer that data to the smart home system, and the home will, for instance, right, know when to serve you coffee.
It's going to be a very busy robot in my house.
Definitely in mine too, I guess. But now the question, I guess, to us researchers, but also the question to the whole society is whether we really want it. I think there are certain challenges attached to it. For instance, security and safety of that very sensitive data that you transmit, that I transmit, because emotional data is really, I think, the most sensitive, but also in many ways interesting kind of data that we can access.
And how do you actually prevent the data being used in a way which it's not meant for? I mean, once you let the genie out of the bottle, can you put it back in?
Neuromarketing is obviously very interested in humans' emotional data and how people react to advertising. And obviously, they would like to see that data. And I think when it's in the kind of research context, it's safe. But we need new procedures. I would assume probably new regulations that will tackle this particular issue so that business also can behave responsibly and has some sort of new codes of conduct to work with the sensitive data.
You're working with various startups developing devices and robots and machines. What sorts of things will we be wearing and will there be implants?
This is really a problematic case because chips have been out there for a very long time, but people are not willing to use them because of various ethical concerns and also because it hurts. And I think that aside from particular kind of biohacking communities and groups of people who are really interested in, I don't know, altering their mental states and are really interested in self-experimentation, these devices, the implants, the chips, have not become really popular. But then again, when I think about nanorobots used probably already now in some new research in medicine, I can easily imagine that maybe not implants, but something that will be inside us is going to become also a popular kind of technology to, I don't know, detect diseases, for instance.
And so if you were to say what will be the greatest challenge and what will be the greatest benefit going forward?
The greatest challenge is, I think, to really have now a mainstream debate that will be related to artificial intelligence, because there are many things that we have to decide on. We have to have a debate on the automation of work and the future of work, because increasingly technologies and artificial intelligence in particular are taking over in that sphere. We need to have a debate on where we want to go with the project of artificial general intelligence. So I would say that the greatest challenge now for humans is to really understand how important this problem is. For instance, I don't see politicians talking about it. And this is something that is worrying for me. Obviously, there are many good sides of artificial intelligence development and growth. And some technologies will allow us to trespass the horizons of our knowledge and will show us kind of new ways in which we can see and perceive reality. And I think this is something that is very interesting.
A brave new world indeed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was Dr. Alexandra Pregolenska from the Center for Collective Intelligence at Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston.